This podcast is a collaboration between Costard and Touchstone Productions and the Dads from the Crypt podcast.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the How Not to Make a Movie podcast. I'm Alan Katz. Gil will join us shortly. First, if you like what we're doing, don't keep it to yourself. Hit the like button. Tell the world. Better yet, subscribe. That way you'll hear about things like Are You Afraid? The new streaming horror series about flesh-eating ghouls that Gil and I are just taking out into the marketplace.
Flesh-eating ghouls.
For a long time, we humans have been deeply afraid of vampires. And zombies.
10, 4, paramedics.
Fair enough. Vampires and zombies are scary. But neither vampires nor zombies
are real.
Flesh-eating ghouls, on the other hand, are real.
They've been living in our shadow for thousands of years, hunting us, feasting on us, treating us
like food.
But some ghouls are tired of living in the shadow of their food. Those ghouls have decided it's time to leave the shadow
and put us in our place where we belong.
On the menu.
It's an eat or be eaten world.
Flavored by fear, filled with the monster we
should have been afraid of all along.
Flesh-eating ghouls.
Are you afraid?
You better be.
Coming soon.
So here's the premise of 5x2. You're in a space pod zooming towards some far-off destination in the cosmos. The pod itself is state-of-the-art. Comfortable, the food is awesome, they've pumped you up with happy pills to keep you going. The one thing they fucked up is the entertainment system. That's where the money and the memory ran out. All the system has space for is 5 movies and 2 songs. The 5x2. Now, before you start choosing, you gotta keep this in mind. You're gonna watch those movies and listen to those songs ad nauseum. You had better like these a lot, and you better be able to tolerate watching and hearing them again and again. And again, our guests today allowing us to subject them to the 5x2 are Jason Stein, Jody Webster, and Armando Aguilar, the 3 dads from the crypt. Jason, Jody, and Mondo are all film aficionados of the highest order. They are passionate about movies and the movies they love, and the ones they can tolerate watching endlessly. It's a tough assignment for the dads from the crypt. Let's see what they come back with. 3, 2, 1. Blast off. It is such a pleasure to be with all of the dads from the crypt. I can't think of the last time we all did this. It's been a while.
Have all of us, all 5 of us, been on
that? I'm not sure if we all have it once.
I you know, everything before this morning is a blur. I know we've done it in combinations, but if this is the first time, then Glorioski. Wow.
Yeah, I think I recognize everybody except Alan. Tell you the truth.
Well, thinking the other day that everyone else on here has met Jody except for me.
That's true. In person.
Yep.
At least in person. Yeah, it's crazy.
Even more reason for me to make it out to LA.
There you go.
You know, ever since the pandemic, when suddenly cameras attached to our computers became essential and meeting virtually became ubiquitous, on the one hand, it expanded our circle of people. Suddenly we know so many more people without actually knowing them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the strangest damn thing.
The one that always gets me is I don't know how tall any of my friends are, because everyone I see is on camera sitting down. I have no idea how tall anyone is.
I am, in fact, this big.
That's right.
It's just such a basic thing to know about people. And I don't know it about any of my friends until I finally see them in person. And I'm surprised.
And I must say, Alan's twice as tall as I am.
It is, like I said, a real pleasure to see everybody. The circumstances for our getting everyone together is a 5x2. We'll have explained it, but we'll do it one more time. Your choice should be dominated by these circumstances. You are on a space pod traveling toward the outer reaches. There's a destination in mind. It's going to take a while to get there. It's a beautiful pod, perfect in every way, food, comfort. The one thing they fucked up on is the entertainment system. The one thing. And there, the little bit of memory left, all you could squeeze onto it was five movies and two songs. Now, alas, this is all you're going to get. So these better be five movies and two songs you can watch and listen to again, again.
Can I ask you a question, Alan, before we get started?
Yes.
In this pod, do we have any difficulty with any wheels coming off or doors popping off the plane?
God, I hope not.
Okay. Okay, then I'm in the pod.
Yeah, good. Like I said, it's perfect in every way, but the entertainment system. First, I want to introduce all the individual members of the Dads from the Crypt before they launch into it. Jason, why don't we start with you? And how did the Dads from the Crypt come together? And who the hell are you?
Yeah, so it's actually exactly what we were talking about with pandemic and becoming more reliant on Zoom and virtual friends. I was a part of a group called Bloody Good Horror. They created their own like Slack group, which is like a private social media network by invite only. So me and other fans of that podcast all joined their Slack group. And that was when pandemic hit. I was like an occasional user. I wasn't like really in on it. But once pandemic hit, you know, you want any and all social interaction you can get your hands on. So, you know, I was on there constantly. And then Jody started doing trivia nights every Saturday. And that was my literal social event of the week. Mm-hmm. That's like what we clung on to. That was like, I told my wife, like, you know, we don't have much else going on. So that's my thing.
That was my sanity. I look forward to that every Saturday. I'm like, I get to talk to somebody. That's not my, I love my family to death, but I get to talk to somebody outside these walls I live in.
I remember Saturday nights were the night that I would like trim my beard and like get all like, this is, I'm going to see people. Oh, I'm finally going to see people.
I took a shower. You guys can't smell
it. It's a shower just for trivia.
Does it seem like a long time ago?
Yes and no.
I think I'm with Jason. Both. Sometimes.
Well, because we're still looking at each other in the exact same rooms that we were in then, it feels like true. It was yesterday, but also feels like it was, you know, a decade ago at the same time. Anyway, so yeah, that was our big thing. And then as I talk about, you know, I turned 40 during the pandemic on the January 6th. And it was kind of like one of those like, okay, you turn 40, what you doing with your life? You know, we're still in pandemic. And I had the idea of, you know, what if I ever want to start a podcast? Because, you know, I really enjoy them. Our good friend Caitlin, who runs the Plug It Up podcast, was just starting her own with some help from the Blake Good Horror community. And I figured, you know what, she's doing this one on her by herself with help, but one person, I bet I can get two other bozos and we can do what she's doing. So you know, I gave it some thought, and you know, me, Jody, and Mondo, we're all getting along very well. So I did what I do, and I started coming up with ideas, and I landed on my beloved Tales from the Crypt, and I made a PowerPoint about doing a Tales from the Crypt podcast. And I messaged each of these gentlemen individually and said, hey, would you be interested in a Tales from the Crypt podcast? Let me show you my PowerPoint.
You are based in Los Angeles, Jason. Yes. Jody, where are you?
I'm in Tennessee.
Where?
About an hour and a half from Chattanooga, just out in the middle of nowhere in the country.
Wow.
Which is why Jody was able to make it to the Chat Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chattanooga Film Fest is easy for me. It's a quick drive.
Mondo?
Las Vegas. So I had to fly to Chattanooga Film Festival. That was fine. Tiny airport, four gates. Took me 13 hours to get home after delays. It was great, though.
Boy, tricky, tricky. Yeah, because Chattanooga was tricky to get to.
Yeah.
It's a tiny little airport.
It's funny, though. It's cheaper to fly to Chattanooga than it was to fly to Nashville. And I couldn't figure it out, but I'll take it.
Carry on, Jason.
Well, then they're both like, well, you had us at Tales from the Crypt. but you know, before they even looked at the spreadsheet. And then, you know, I like came up with ideas for names and themes for the podcast, like A-Holes from the Crypt, or, you know, the usual From the Crypt stuff. But, you know, the one that really stuck out was Dads, because we all have that in common. And, you know, at this point in your life, you know, fatherhood is, you know, such a big part of your identity. But we also figured, you know, the Crypt Keeper being the eternal dad joke that he is, just kind of really thematically all kind of meshed together.
Who actually came up with Dads?
I think it was on my spread. I came up with that on like on my list on, yeah, on the spreadsheet, but then, but you know,
everyone agreed quickly.
Yes. There wasn't even an argument. No arguments about that one.
Besides, I think Alan and I own A-Holes from the Crypt. So you probably couldn't have used it. Yeah.
Certainly the .com.
And then, you know, we you know, had like quote production meetings about it, and you know, Jody worked on the artwork, Bondo was working on the technical stuff, our friend Eric, who runs Bloody Good Horror, worked on the theme, and then, you know, we kind of just kind of happened from there, just kept rolling. And for anyone who might not be too familiar, we've reviewed the entirety of Tales from the Crypt, including the movies, etc., and we have just finished,
especially all of our et cetera.
Yeah. Jason made us do Ritual. That's I haven't forgiven him for that one yet.
And then to torture them further, we just did the first two seasons of Black Mirror, which is an excellent show, but oof, it's heavy shit. And then we're about to start doing, we'll come back to Black Mirror eventually, but we're going to switch gears and do the Creepshow TV show. So I think that'll be a little bit more fun, a little bit more on the horror side, but with, you know, our friends
more commonly known as the Tales from the Crypt ripoff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You don't know how often I'm in like a chat room or comment section and people are talking about, oh, the segment from Tales from the Crypt with Stephen King, and he gets all, you know, plant grows all over his face, or the one with the cockroaches. And I'm like, I don't like people in comments being like, well, actually, but it's
right.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Jody, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a graphic designer living in Tennessee. I do everything remotely anyway, so all my work is remote. And so when Jason had this idea of doing a podcast across the country, I said, yeah, that'd be great. I sleep weird hours, so thankfully I can adjust to the time schedule. But yeah, I've been a horror fan my entire life, and Tales from the Crypt, and yeah, it's in my blood.
What was the horror that got you?
So I grew up, I was kind of a late bloomer with horror movies. They scared me too much as a little kid. I was just one of these sensitive kids, but books were my entryway. I started with The Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and Goosebumps, and then moved on to Stephen King. And then by the time I was in high school, I saw Scream over at a friend's house, and that was my first slasher movie, and it freaked me out. But also, it's that that horror fan thing of it disturbed me and intrigued me at the same time. And now slashers would be probably my favorite genre. So yeah, Scream is my entry point for really sucking me into the movies. And then we had some good video stores in high school and college where I could just go prowl the racks for hours and find all this obscure stuff that I'd read about online. And yeah, I've educated myself deeply despite being a late bloomer when it comes to movies.
Well, and my entry point is the exact same story as Jody. It's like I probably watched Frankenstein, some Godzilla stuff, you know.
Yeah, I watched some Godzilla
TV when I was a kid, but like I remember crying when they killed Godzilla because I was so sad. Like I was crying, like, what did he do, you know, when I was like, you know, a little kid. But yeah, Scream, it's the only movie I've seen in the theaters three times, twice in like one day. So that was the movie that really, I think, especially for a lot of people our age, was really kind of sparked things.
What was it about Scream that just, it set the hook so deep?
It felt very modern at the time. You know, the 80s movies, I hadn't gone back and watched them yet. And so I knew, I mean, I grew up in a world where Jason and Freddy were things that people talked about in the lunch line in kindergarten. We all knew these guys, but I'd never seen any of them. But when I got to Scream, it was modern. It was new. It was these big celebrities that I had heard of before and seen in things. And all of that just helped draw a person in, or it did for me.
Yeah. And especially like growing up in the, during those 80s, we saw like movie, like trailers and commercials on TV and whatnot. And we saw the scariness and I was like, oh, that's so scary. But you know, when I finally watched them, I'm like, oh, actually, once you see the whole movie, it's not that scary. But the little glimpses that we saw as kids was the nightmare fuel.
I mean, it's crazy because there were NES games marketed at children for Jason and Freddy, and comic book ads in children's comic books. It was really kind of a cool thing to see.
As you've formally entered the conversation, Mondo, tell us about yourself so that the audience can put a voice with everything.
I'm the youngest of the dads from the crypt at 41.
You're 41.
41. Yeah.
Mondo is the youngest, has the oldest child.
Yeah, my child is 21, so you guys can do the math as of when that happened.
So I'm the oldest. I have the youngest kids, and Jody is the middle, and he has the most kids.
I think there's a basis for a horror movie right in this conversation.
I think so too. Yeah,
it came with kids.
See,
how many kids do you have, Jody?
We have six. We're small town Tennessee.
Yeah. What else to do? Yeah.
What else are you gonna do?
Cheaper by the half dozen.
Kids. Unlike these two gentlemen, my horror story started way differently. In that, my mother, myself, and my sister grew up with my grandparents in Virginia till I was about six or seven. Maybe seven. And I walked in one night on my mom watching Nightmare on Elm Street 2, probably 87 or 88. I was way too young to see that. My mom, not being the best parent ever, just let me hang out and watch it. And the first thing I saw was the transformation scene where Freddy's basically coming out of Jesse's body. And it scared the hell out of me. And I fell in love with it. And then fast forward to when my grandparents passed away and we moved in with my mom, and she was living out here in Las Vegas with her boyfriend. They're very absentee parents, but she let me rent whatever I wanted at the video store. So I watched a hell of a lot of horror and just fell deep into the genre, and I've loved the genre ever since.
What was it inside you that... fear, but
yeah.
What was it in particular that... What was that experience? What did it feel like? What was that? What nerve did it touch?
I remember being so terrified by that scene as a kid. I had nightmares on about it for weeks. But I think I've always had the kind of brain that when something, I don't understand something or scares something, it draws me to it. Like, I want to know more about it. The music I listened to started this way too. I listened to a band on a local radio show and it kind of scared me. And I was like, oh, I need to dive deep into this now, because I think I tend to enjoy things that exist, I guess, on the outskirts of society that not a whole lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of horror fans, don't get me wrong, but I think us diehard horror fans are kind of the outliers, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, but I think that's also why we gravitate towards each other, because we all kind of have that same thing that's wrong up here, whatever that is, or what's right up there, I should say.
I would much rather be a broken toy than a not broken toy. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now we've met everybody. It's time to subject you to the 5x2. Jason, as we're going to lose you first, let's put you to the test.
Okay. Am I doing all of them at once?
Well, let's start with the five, and then we'll.
Okay. So again, I thought very, because you gave us like a week to think about it, I thought about this very strategically. Like, these aren't necessarily my five favorite. I mean, these are all like in my top 10. I would easily put them.
But you have to be able to tolerate them is really the question.
I thought strategically. So the first one is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay.
Which is, you know, badass, classic Western. The soundtrack is amazing. That's the kind of thing you can just put on in the background and just, you know.
It's and in a way, it's kind of cheating, because now you've got a kind of a third song.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that, and it's also 3 hours long, so it's like two movies. And
very
it's
strategic. I see how you're thinking.
And there's no shortage of these grand sweeping shots of Italy posing as, you know, America West. So I'm figured if I'm in a pod with the same scenery, the blackness of space, I want big, bright, beautiful scenes playing. So that just visually really appeals to me. You know, it's, you can't get any cooler than, you know, Clint Eastwood, you know, and it's such a great movie. It's one of my all-time favorites. I remember seeing it. My dad rented that and Easy Rider for me when I was staying sick from home one day. And those two movies blew my mind. great cinematography. I said the music is fantastic. So that's like my big action adventure movie. So I know I wanted one of those.
Great choice.
The other alternate was Aliens, was the other one I was thinking about. But that one feels a little claustrophobic for this.
Let's say that might be a little intense while on a spacecraft.
Right.
Just a thought.
okay, my second movie. I'm a big fan of a campy slasher movie, and I'm a big fan of summer camp movies. So I had to go with the campiest summer slasher movie I could think of, which of course is Sleepaway Camp.
Dear Mom and Dad, I've been at a sleepaway camp for almost 3 weeks, and I'm getting very scared.
If you listen to the podcast, I talk about this movie all the time. I did a great review with, again, our friend Caitlin. I'll plug it up about it. It's such a weird, bizarre movie. There's so much what the fuck moments, like, is in the backgrounds and the character acting choices. But it all just kind of comes together as a wonderful tapestry of just camp. It's just wildly entertaining. You get big performances. The music is just, like, bizarre. Like, just so bombastic when it doesn't need to be. It should be a mess, but it just works, at least for me.
Sleepaway camp. You won't be coming home.
Okay, it's a very little-known movie from the 80s. Don't read anything online. Just go in. It goes places, and the less you know, the better. I would love to sit with you and watch this movie.
That sounds like a hoot.
Yeah, we need to get together and do that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just very stereotypical 80s slasher, but in the best ways. Okay.
I'm seeing another episode of our podcast in watching that movie.
Yeah.
You
and I should do like a live episode of us watching that. Next one, I wanted to get a good comedy in here because we could all use a laugh. One of my favorite all-time holidays is Thanksgiving. You said this is going to be a well-stocked spaceship. So I'm thinking make a Thanksgiving dinner and sit down and watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Percy, I've been wearing the same underwear since Tuesday.
I can vouch for that.
One of my favorites too.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those movies I can sit down and just laugh my ass off every time. Mm-hmm.
They are great together. John Candy and Steve Martin
mm-hmm. are gold. John Hughes doesn't get enough credit for a lot of his directing, just bringing heart to this, because this could easily be like a mean movie. These two guys just can't really stand each other, but are thrown together. But he brings a heart to it, which I really, really love. Again, freaking hilarious. You get a Kevin Bacon cameo in the beginning, and you get a Ray Charles song played through towards the end.
Like, stealing another song.
Yeah, you do the mess around. So you can put another song you could put on and dance to. So that's my feel good, happy, funny movie. Now, of course, as a big Tales of the Crypt fan, in case you didn't know this, I had to. I can't be out in space without the Crypt Keeper keeping me company. So I chose a Tales of the Crypt movie. Bordello Blood, it is not. Sorry, but I am
finished here. Done.
That's it.
But I am going Demon Knight. Fucking love that movie. I could watch it over and over and over again. I love the performances. Again, another song. I get Hey Man, Nice Shot, which again came out when I was middle schoolish. I can't remember the exact one, but that's a song that I loved listening on the radio. The effects, the gore, the action, the comedy.
It's got a better villain.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, trust me, put me in the pod with Billy Zane, I'll be happy. But, you know, also, if you're going to be in isolation, you want to have some boobs to look at, so you got that factor. I just love that movie. So it's the cast top down is so solid. Dick Miller, you know, William Sadler, CC Pounder, everyone just does such a great job. So yeah, I'm obviously a huge fan of that movie. That's just, you know, again, more of a horror action, where Sleepy Camp is more horror camp slasher. So I wanted to get the full gamut. And then to wrap up my movies, I wanted one that was definitely different than the other ones. So I went with a South Korean movie called Old Boy.
Ooh.
That's
an interesting one.
And he throws a curveball.
Exactly.
Uncle Charlie drops through the plate.
Al Gill, are you familiar with that movie?
I think I'm familiar with the title, but tell us more.
So it's a South Korean movie made by Park Chan-wook. It's kind of a thriller, kind of, there's a lot of violence, there's some, like, but very darkly funny violence. I don't want to give too much away, but it's definitely a little disturbing, but it's kind of thought-provoking and beautiful at the same time. And it is about a man who gets kidnapped and put into a confined space.
When was it made?
I think it was 2003, early 2000s for sure.
Okay.
And he's kind of trapped in this area. And then eventually, minor spoiler, but eventually he gets released and he has to go solve the mystery of why this happened to him. So he's put away for 15 years. One day he's randomly released and he has to go out and solve the mystery.
It sounds really compelling.
Yeah. I mean, it goes some very dark places, but mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know. I felt like it was a good counterbalance to the other ones. And again, it's a beautiful thought provoking, makes you really ponder questions in life kind of movie. So
it's a good movie if Jason finds himself having too much fun and he's just like, yes. I need to hurt myself a little bit. I'm going to watch this movie.
I'm in too good of a mood.
You've chosen well. Jason, we'll come back for your two songs, but mm-hmm. well chosen. That's wow. Yes, I would not mind being on your pod with you.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Jody, Mondo, who wants to go next? You want a fight to the death?
I can go.
Go ahead, Jody.
Or if you're really itching to go, I'll let you. I'm not going to hold you back here.
Yeah, we can fight to the death. It's
Mondo. No, I don't want to do that. You take jiu-jitsu.
Nah, go for it. Go for it, Jody.
All right. So I had the complete opposite approach that Jason did. Jason thought deeply about this and he made a spreadsheet. I'm pretty sure I have undiagnosed ADHD because 15 minutes before this podcast, I went, oh no, I have to do the podcast. And it's something I had been thinking about, but I hadn't actually taken.
You also have, Jody, you also have six kids, man.
I do.
Oh my God. never mind ADHD. Holy shit.
It's a mixture of both. And so instead of carefully thinking through my choices, I went pure gut. This is purely, if I am flipping through the channels and this is on, this is something I'm stopping for every time. Like, these are movies that it doesn't matter how many times I've watched them. It doesn't matter if I watched them recently or not. I'll just watch them again. It's fine. That's what I went with. A lot of comfort movies. I wouldn't even know that these would all make my top 10, but they would absolutely be movies that I would watch over and over again. Very different criteria there.
But then these are meeting the criteria.
Right. Absolutely. They're meeting. Yeah. They are movies that I am happy to rewatch. They are movies I think are going to make me feel good for the most part. And so that's what I want. If you're going to be lost or stuck in this spaceship for a long time, it's lonely. You want something kind of light and fun. So, but not just that. So I'll quit.
What you got?
I'll quit qualifying and get into it. It's what I actually have here.
So stop being so defensive, Jody.
I know. I've already.
We're not going to judge you, man.
Let's see what you got. Mind.
All right. So the first one on my list, I have to. Friday the 13th is my favorite of all of the big slashers, and so they're fun movies. Choosing was hard, but I think the one I want to go with is Friday the 13th Part 2.
I don't want to scare anyone. But I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason.
It has one of the most likable cast of teenagers waiting to be picked off of the entire series. You've got two approaches with the slasher. You have the likable cast that you hate to see them die, and you have the terrible cast that you are counting down the minutes until the slasher gets them. I think in part two, I'm still rooting for the kids by that point. I haven't fully moved into get rid of these terrible people. I'm tired of listening to them. My alternate was part five, which I think definitely verges on the get rid of these terrible people movie. So I still like the kids. I still like what's going on. Jason is him in his baghead before he gets his mask. I think it may be Jason at his scariest. There's something about him pre-mask that's very intimidating. And so I think that's, of that series, one of my favorite series, this is probably my favorite movie in that series. So I'm happy to go back to that one anytime. For my second one, again, Jason thought through this. I don't have the big tonal swings because my next one is about the same level of camp, maybe further into the campiness. And another part two, Night of the Demons part two.
Ooh.
Angela is inviting you back to Hull House.
Oh, Angela, your party guests are here.
To celebrate her homecoming party. And raise a little hell. Night of the Demons.
This is one I remember seeing as a teenager. It got heavy rotation on HBO back in the day, and it would play at night, and it's just one of those filler movies that they put in a lot. Direct to video, 1994. But I've always liked it. It's really fun, very silly. There's some great practical effects with Angela, the demon-possessed girl, like the monster makeup on it. Very, very cool. It's funny. There is a nun who goes to try to defend the children, and she whips out her ruler, like her big long whack in the knuckles ruler, and uses it as a weapon to fight against these demons. Very silly, very campy, very much 90s direct to video. But it's a good time. I've watched it more times. It's one of those, if I can't think of what to watch, that's always a good possibility. So next up, not a horror movie. I've got two that aren't horror movies. I wanted something very silly, a very silly comedy, because they make me happy. And I thought about the Naked Gun movies. I thought about the Airplane movies, some of the best. But the one I actually went with for a very silly movie is
Wet Hot American Summer.
I love
it. It's
that.
So good. It's a ridiculous camp movie. I love summer camp. I never went to summer camp as a kid like this, but I love movies about it. And this is just a stacked cast. The cast in this movie is so good. The scenes are so very, very silly. Christopher Maloney playing this Vietnam vet who's the chef, and he's slowly going insane talking to a can of vegetables. There's a montage training sequence set to a fake 80s song. It's just so good. Every part of it. It's funny and stupid in all the right ways. So to switch up the tone a little bit, because sometimes as a horror fan, I can't just go silly and campy all the time. I need something a little nasty from time to time. And so my nasty movie is the Evil Dead remake from 2013, I think.
You are all going to die tonight.
Yeah. 2013 remake. It is brutal. It's Evil Dead without any of the humor, or it's a different kind of humor. It's not wacky like Bruce Campbell in Evil Dead 2. It's much darker, more serious. The effects are intense. The violence in it is very intense, but it also has one of the best over the top, ridiculous, but fun and intense finales of any movie I've ever seen. It's literally raining blood in the final scenes. It's just, for a horror fan, I don't know how somebody couldn't enjoy this movie despite the dark tone of it. And so that's just to shake things up a little bit if I'm having too much fun, getting a little too silly. Evil Dead remake. But then I'm right back to silliness again for my final movie. And this is my wild card, but I love this movie so much. 1944, Arsenic and Old Lace. Cary Grant in a screwball comedy. You've got the brother who thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt and charges up the stairs like he's charging up to San Juan Hill every time. You've got the little guy, the famous horror, Peter Lorre. Peter Lorre, I'm thinking of. He's great in this role. Cary Grant's great in it. He's got these great old grandmas who are killing old men who come to their house as an act of mercy.
The mulberry wine
as an act of mercy. It is hilarious. It's got some of the best dialogue. It's got one of my favorite lines where he says, "Insanity runs in my family. It practically gallops." It's just wacky. If you've never watched 1940 screwball comedies and you're a horror fan, I think this is a great introduction. It's just so good, and it's got just enough of that murder and mayhem that I think a horror fan would like it.
Agree. Oh, it's a gem. Jody, it is. That is absolutely
so good.
Fascinating choices. Well articulated, Jody. Holy cow. Mondo, you're up, man.
I'm not as articulate as Jody is, but much like Jody, I went for my gut in movies that my wife is one of those people that if she likes something, she'll watch it. She'll watch the same movie three times in a row. It doesn't faze her. I'm not that person. So when I find something I constantly want to watch, I kind of latch onto it. And my first pick is the comedy. And it is one of my favorite movies ever made, and it is The Big Lebowski.
Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
I absolutely adore that movie. I love the comedy in it. Steve Buscemi.
But it's not just a comedy. It's a Coen Brothers comedy. So it's a particular kind of comedy.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff Bridges just knocks it out of the park in this. And the musical numbers are even great, which normally I don't really care for in movies. And this is one of those movies that I watched when it came out. I was like 15, I think. Then came out in 98 or 99, so 15 or 16. And I was like, okay, that was a movie. That was okay movie. I was okay. And then I watched it again, and it just sunk its talons in a little bit more. Then I watched it again. I started picking out new little pieces of it. And to this, I've seen that movie 100 times. And to this day, I can watch it and sometimes pick out something that I missed before. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my favorite movies ever made. My second one is, now we go into the horror realm, is my favorite John Carpenter movie, which isn't Halloween. It's In the Mouth of Madness.
This is not reality.
It's all happening for real, Trent.
Yes, it's horrific, but it's also a fun movie overall, with the way they interact with the Sutter Kane character and the way he basically becomes God or Lord of this world. The scene at the end where he's on a bus and he falls asleep and Sutter Kane wakes him up and he goes, "You're not real." He goes, "Just remember, my favorite color is blue." And he wakes up and the whole world is blue around him. That movie, I fell in love with it at a young age, and I'm a big fan of John Carpenter's musical stylings. Love his music, and it's got one of the best title tracks in my opinion in the history of film. Number three is from the series that started it all for me, and it's I had to pick a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, and it's probably actually my third favorite. But when it comes to one that I can just constantly watch over and over again, and one that I'd want to watch in a space pod somewhere, if that's all I could watch, it'd have to be Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. Again, wonderful intro song by Dokken. Like, that song is just wormed its way. Like, if I'm at a bar and they have touch tunes available, we're listening to Dream Warriors once I have a couple beers in me. There is no compromise there. And that was also the one I thought where it brought Freddy was kind of a nasty character in that. Like, yeah, there was the humor some ways and how he was very creative in his kills, but he's also still this, you know, this bastard that later on he kind of became way more comedic. This is maybe the start of that comedy, but the comedy was very, very mean-spirited.
Now, I just watched part three with my kids for the first time.
Oh,
I mean,
like
I've seen it many yeah. times, but yeah, no, they definitely liked it.
And the scene with all the kids, the Dream Warriors themselves too, and like Jody brought up, I'm actually rooting for them. Like mm-hmm. in later movies, I'm waiting for Freddy just to slash these. Like, I love Freddy versus Jason, but I just want Freddy and Jason to kill all these people. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and this one, I still remember the first time I watched it, and they kill off Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, they just killed off the main heroine, the final girl. And all the Dream Warrior characters are each unique and interesting in their own ways. And I love they brought some of them back for number four, even though they didn't really do much with them. But a big fan of it. Oh, and I met Kincaid at a couple, I forgot yeah. the actor's name, at a couple conventions, and he's just the nicest guy.
Yeah, I met him too. He's really cool. But yeah, that what's really cool, also really cool, is that like how all the kids are empowered with their dream mm-hmm. powers.
Yeah.
So it's a very cool.
Yeah, and the I'm a big fan of Dream Warriors. And then I had to pick one by one of my favorite directors of all time, Lucio Fulci, which is Lucio Fulci's 1981 masterpiece, The Beyond.
Go back to where you came from and hurry. Leave this place.
Which is just, Lucio Fulci was known for his movies just not making sense. But I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it lets you as the audience kind of piece this together and decide what you think it is. And I don't necessarily think it's bad filmmaking. I think in certain cases, when done right, it can work. I think he was a master of cinematography and getting these great atmospheric shots. And it's also a movie that was released first in the United States as Seven Doors of Death, which I found at, I was like 15 or 16 and found it at Best Buy in one of those $5 movie bins. And it was cut all to hell. They got rid of like a lot of the gore and a lot of the really violent scenes in it. So I took me a couple years and I tracked a bootleg copy down of it and fell in love with it immediately. And the score by Fabio Frizzi is one of my favorite scores of all time. Like he's just between him and Goblin, they were just masters of that Italian, like jazz, almost jazzy score at times. And, you know, hey, I have a tattoo of this one on my leg. So I kind of had to go with something I have a tattoo of.
How can you not?
Well, I have other horror tattoos too, but I'm also like, I love that movie, but I want to watch it once every year or once every couple of years. Like, I don't know how Jason picked Old Boy. That's a whole nother story. That's a heavy movie. And then the last one I picked, because we're in space, I need a space theme. And it, again, is one of my favorite characters of all time. And it's a horror movie, but it's not really a horror movie. It's campy. It's one of the campiest movies of all time. And I would take with me on this spaceship, Jason 10.
I knew you were going
Jason
that.
In space.
I knew it.
What the hell is going on?
Jason Voorhees, that's what's going on.
I was actually tossing that up between that and another silly movie, Major League, which I absolutely adore.
Yeah.
But I was like, I've traveled to see a 35 millimeter screening of Jason 10. And I love that movie. It's campy, it's cheesy, but it feels like the audience, it doesn't feel like you're laughing at the movie. It feels like you're in on the joke. Like everyone's mm-hmm. in on the same joke. Or we're all laughing at the same joke. Cause I imagine these guys sitting around set and just laughing at some of the dialogue, laughing at some of the scenes. And it's a really, to me, it's just a fun movie to watch. And it's in space.
Cronenberg. Yeah.
I've never seen it. And now I feel like I have to.
I'm not going to say it's a good movie. I completely admit, but it's one of those movies that I absolutely love and I would watch a million times.
You know, I got to say each and every one of those pods would be, I think I'd survive that trip too.
I feel like this is like a personality test for each of us.
Yeah. You know?
Well, it is. Of course it is. You know,
hearing our choices, I'm like, that. Okay, that explains Jason. That explains Jody. That explains Mondo.
I would say even the way that Jason, you know, made his decisions was very telling about him.
Yeah, 100%.
I think what Jason didn't tell everybody at the beginning about his PowerPoint presentation is he said, hey, do you guys do a podcast? We're both just like, yes. And then he made us watch the presentation.
Put all this effort in.
Yeah.
I assume you made the same amount of research when you chose your songs.
Songs, I found it to be much harder because there's just so goddamn many and like so many different genres, and only choosing two is just was really hard actually. So I went with a song off of one of my all-time favorite albums. And there's sometimes you pick up and you get an album and you listen to it for the first time and you like are pulled in. You like, you feel that music is now part of your DNA almost, like you're melding with it. And that is how I felt when I first listened to the album Lateralis by the metal band Tool. And it's easily my top five albums, if not top three. I mean, you can ask me on the right day what it is. So I knew I had to choose a song from there, and I chose the title track, Lateralis. And it starts with this like bluesy riff, in a way, like it, in their own way. They're a very esoteric band. Alt metal is probably the
hopefully best it'll be playing underneath us as we're having this conversation. That's my intention anyway.
Yeah, so it starts off with like kind of like almost like a blues riff in a way. It just builds up to this climax and it just hits you like a frying pan with this like crunchy metal riff, and that's like the first minute. It's a 9 minute song and it just kind of goes spinning off from there. And just Tool's drumming and bass playing is all just always perfect. This is one of those songs where every note just felt perfect to me. And it goes, takes you on a journey. And the lyrics, you know, with Tool, it's very mysterious what the hell they're talking about most of the time. Everyone takes a little something away. Like I was saying earlier, it's like a Rorschach test of what you're taking out from it. A lot of people say like lateralis means like lateral thinking, kind of stepping out of your thoughts and your way and kind of seeing what else is out there, moving, pushing past. I look at a lot about finding order in chaos and finding chaos in order and just kind of like, you know, expanding your perceptions. And that really speaks to me as well. And just, you know, it's just badass. So that's my first song. The other song, I want to take it a little bit different. Still in the rock genre, I went with a classic rock song. My dad was from Long Island, and you know, he kind of came of age in the 70s. So naturally he's a big fan of Bruce Springsteen. And I'm not the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan in the world, but my dad played Born to Run album while we were driving when I was a kid all the time. So it's just kind of like ingrained in me. And this just kind of came up randomly while I was listening to Spotify the other day. And I'm like, you know what? This is the perfect song, Thunder Road.
Sure. Oh gosh, you're on it, aren't you?
Yeah. Like, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm stuck in the place, I want to listen to a song that's gonna make me think of an open world and open roads and just, you know, the wind blowing through whatever hairs I have left.
I can hear the guitar twanging right now.
Yeah, the harmonica. It's just such a beautiful song. It's a song of hope and, you know, just getting the hell out there and just enjoying, you know, freedom. Yeah, the exact kind of feeling I want in the coldest space.
It's a song you can scream and shout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
So I don't know if I even put that in my top 10 songs of all time, but it just spoke to me when I heard it. And again, reminds me of my father, which always, you know, makes me happy. We actually played it. I made a montage of pictures for his funeral, and that's the song I played under it. So it just kind of really connects me there, too.
A great song to take with you, then.
Mm-hmm.
Well chosen. I love them. Jody?
Okay, so as I said, I was very last-minuting this to the point that while some people have been talking, I may have been browsing my Spotify list trying to solidify my thoughts here.
Doing your homework in class, are you?
That's right, that's right. Hey, I got through a lot of classes like that. So I just went with songs that... again, you're going to be lonely. You're going to be on this thing for a long time. Songs that have a good melody and make me feel good. That's really what I was trying. I don't want to be too contemplative on my long journey through space. I want something to lift me up. And so I grew up listening to music from the 60s and 70s with my parents, a lot of oldie station. And one of my favorites has always been Sloop John B by the Beach Boys.
Yes.
Okay. It's got that great breakdown where everything goes acoustic in the middle of it, and all the different parts are coming in. Just a great song. I remember being in chorus as a senior, junior in high school, and some of my friends knew the song, and we would sing it together and do the different parts. It's just a fun song, well written, and it's about wanting to get out of a place that you're stuck. So, hey, that seems to be good for this space trip.
What is that one line? This is the worst place I've ever been.
Yeah, the worst trip I've ever been on.
The worst trip I've ever been on. Yeah. This is the worst trip I've ever been on.
Maybe it's a little darker than I thought, but I think it makes it more appropriate for what we're doing here. And then the second
I love that. I don't know if I've ever told you, but I'm a big Pet Sounds fan. So that's
Pet Sounds is a great album.
Yeah, it is.
I think I could have had a much easier time if I was coming up with albums that I wanted to take with me. I could have come up with a couple albums faster than I could come up with a couple songs, because the repetitiveness. I'll have to take a break from these songs to rewatch movies just so that I don't get sick of them. So my second one is another one that's just a fun song, and it makes me think of other things that I enjoy. It makes me think of the show Futurama, because it's a show that I really love. And the song is Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves. Just, again, it's fun. It's happy. It makes me think of Fry riding his bike to go live in the year 1999 on Futurama. I have to go with my gut on all these things, because I don't think I hit enough. And so my gut says I want music that's going to make me happy. Sloop John B and Walking on Sunshine.
Walk on Sunshine.
And I guess Walking on Sunshine works for being in space too. You're just assuming that you're going to land somewhere with a little light.
Yeah, if it's not sunshine, it'll be some other star shine.
Something, yeah.
Jordan, isn't that song in American Psycho? Am I making that up?
I think you're making that up. I don't think one's in there.
Okay.
Hip to be squares, and maybe, that's the big one.
This is another one I'm thinking of, but yeah.
Another one of Jason's favorite fun movies.
Mm-hmm. Mondo?
Alrighty, so is it cheating if I pick a 40-minute song?
Certainly not. That's you've outwitted the
planning
software.
Ahead.
Yes. Here's where I talk about bands nobody's ever heard of and people turn the podcast off. there's a great band out of Sweden. They go by the name Edge of Sanity. Broke up years ago, but they wrote their magnum opus was a album/single song called Crimson, which tells the story of basically a planet where people can't have children anymore. Suddenly someone becomes pregnant. This person, they make their queen, and she basically destroys civilization, and they have to defeat her. It's a 40-minute long story in one song, and yes, it does completely keep going back to the same riffs every now and again. Just when you think like it's going to go a different direction, you get this great riff again that you heard at the beginning. And it's one of my, I still remember in high school sending away money to Europe to buy this record and getting it like 6 months later. It showed up after I'd forgotten I'd ordered it. And to this day, it's one of my favorite albums of all time. And they did release a sequel to it too, but I'm not going to pick both because I think that would be cheating.
A nice happy song for the flight.
Yes. The sequel is good. The sequel is probably more upbeat as far as musically, a little bit more major key, but it's not as good as the original. But that's not taking anything away from it. That's just saying that it's really hard to recreate that lightning in a bottle sometimes. And then my second song is by one of my favorite bands of all time that I hope everybody's heard of, Blue Oyster Cult. Absolutely adore Blue Oyster Cult. My favorite bands of all time. So one of my favorite albums they did was Secret Treaties from 1974, I think. And my favorite song off that album, which I will say is the best Blue Oyster Cult song of all time. And I will say, sorry, Jason, Metallica butchered this cover. It is Astronomy by Blue Oyster Cult.
I'll give you that.
And I wouldn't say butcher. I think I love the original so much that this just doesn't do it for me.
Nothing's gonna work.
I know their song Don't Fear the Reaper, of course. I do not know that song.
Blue Oyster Cult is one of those bands that everyone knows Don't Fear the Reaper. Most people know Godzilla.
Yeah, I like the
Burning
song
for You. And they're all great songs, but when you really just sit down with one of their albums and listen to the deep cuts they did, they were doing such amazing stuff back in the 70s and really laid down. And, you know, Black Sabbath was the prototypical band that created heavy metal, but there's some songs like Career of Evil and Cities on Flames and Transmaniacon MC when they have these evil sounding minor scale riffs that they do, and they're really, I think, ahead of their time and one of my favorite bands of all time.
You know, I got to say, I'm so looking forward to listening to and watching all the stuff that you guys have suggested for your long space ride. It's boy, this has been educational, and I feel like I know you guys so much better now. Or I feel like I know you guys so much better now.
No, but it's true. You can learn a lot about people by the things they love, and there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, another way to look at it is that two people who don't agree on anything else, if they love the same song, they have a bond.
Yep.
I agree. 100%.
Well, something we can reveal to you now is that Alan and I have made copies of all the movies that you guys have said you like so much and sent them to your children. And so you can deal with that as you will, and when and if you can.
I'm trying to think of
it. Keeps on giving.
My child has seen all of these, I think, except for The Big Lebowski. I don't know if she's ever actually, she might have been in the room while we were watching it, but you know, like kids do, on their phone the whole time.
Yeah. Guys, this has been fantastic. And we're going to make Jason's heart out too.
Yes.
Yeah. Holy, but God, it's like you guys podcast or something. You're really good at this.
That's some synergy.
I must tell you, Jason, your partner's from Dads from the Crypt, we had a secret ballot, and unfortunately, you've been voted off the pod.
Oh, man.
Off the island.
I'd agree, but we all know that, like, Jody and I are way too lazy to do the legwork that Jason does. So.
Jason does all the legwork, for sure.
Well, if we kick Jason off, that'd be the end of the podcast.
Well, just to say, totally inadvertently, or maybe subconsciously, like, we, like, Frankensteined a great team. Where, like, yeah, I'm more the driving force, but Jody has got this, like, great artistic chops to, like, put together any, like, graphic or logo or something that, you know, I come up with a crazy idea. I'm like, I want Freddy Krueger with candles on his fingers so he could look like a Hanukkah menorah.
I didn't make that.
And then Mondo does the editing and all the technical stuff, because I don't think I've ever really listened to any of our stuff after we record. I hate listening to myself.
You don't want to hear my work? It's fine.
Yeah. No, because I trust you. And you're happy to do it. So,
well,
again, it takes like three of us to do what some other people do, you know, all at once. So,
well, and yet this three-headed monster is not really a good monster, but a great monster. And we are so glad that we are in business with this particular monster. Guys, such a pleasure. We'll have to do this again. There's so much stuff happening in the future that we're going to drag you guys into a lot of other stuff.
We'll do it after you guys had a chance to meet with the Tales from the Crypt shrink, our psychiatrist.
when I made that initial PowerPoint, if someone told me that we'd be on a podcast with the producers of Tales from the Crypt and, you know, all the stuff that we've done, mind would be blowing. But I appreciate your friendship and your collaboration so much.
Hey, it's the fact that of this friendship and the fact that your podcast exists, that our podcast exists. So there's that. And on that, God, can you make it any more round? Thank you, everyone, for tuning in as usual, and we will see you next time.
The How Not to Make a Movie podcast is executive produced by me, Alan Katz, by Gil Adler, and by Jason Stein. Our artwork was done by the amazing Jody Webster, and Jason Jody, along with Mando, are all the hosts of the fun and informative Dads from the Crypt podcast. Follow them for what my old pal the Crypt Keeper would have called terrific Crypt content.